O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. Oh, hallelujah. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Hallelujah. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall. But the Lord helped me. Hallelujah. The Lord is my strength and my song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Hallelujah. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Hallelujah. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Yes, Lord. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's just do that tonight. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Lord God. We bless your name. We magnify you. Hallelujah, Jesus.
We just praise you. We glorify you.
Jesus.
We magnify you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
You can come down front and worship your God. Hallelujah. Lift up our hands. We worship you. We praise you, Father. We're here. You're worthy. We're here because we want to be, God. We're here because we love you, and we love to praise your name and magnify you in the sanctuary. We love to bless you with our brothers and sisters to come together, Father. There is no one like you, Lord God, and you deserve all the glory. You deserve all the praise, Jesus. You have been so good to us. We can't even count the number of times that you've helped us and saved us out of all our troubles. We bless your name, Lord, at all times. Your praise will continually be in our lips. Our souls will make their boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. We will magnify you, Lord. You're so good, God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Jehovah, we love you, Lord. You're
things are possible with you, God.
You're such an awesome God.
All things are possible with you.
How great are you, Father?
Christ in us, the hope of glory, Father. We have been born again, God. We are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Yet not we, but Christ lives in us, Father. In the life which we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God.
Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul.
You made this possible.
I glorify you, Jesus.
Apart from you, we can do nothing. We thank you. You fill us up, God.
I love you. I love you, Jesus.
We rest in you.
Jesus, I worship you. I don't know about you, but when the enemy comes after me, he seems to come with like an army. He comes and has your past as a, like an attorney, you know, just tearing you down, reminding you that your future is going to be just like your past. It's the silliest thing ever, but when you're in the middle of it, it's not funny. Because you are not who your past is or what your past is. You are who Christ made you. And if the Lord has ever said anything over you, that's when you want to bring that out, because you're going to need it. Paul told Timothy, war with the prophecies that went before you. When the enemy comes, he says things that you understand and that you can agree with, because you were there when you did it. Except he doesn't come with grace. So you know you're getting beat up. And you don't know if you should start swatting the air with your hands like flies coming around you or what. That's what I feel like sometimes. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes with grace and truth. It's your words that he came to steal. That's what the enemy came to take. He came to take your words. He can get you to agree with him because it's something about your past, right? And you start believing it. The worst part about believing something in your heart is eventually it comes out of your mouth. And you're in trouble then. I don't spend near as much time pouting as I used to. I don't know if anybody's ever pouted, but I don't spend near as much time pouting as I used to. By the grace of God, because I'm not really sure why that is. I'm not going to say. I'm afraid. Sometimes it really is rough. But it's because he's come to steal the word. Okay? The word is worthwhile for him to steal. And there's a reason for that. Because a lot of times, you know, we're still trying to take it marinate on it, see it and for its fullness, for what it is. Because once it's in your spirit, okay, he can't even go in there to take it. And that's what he's afraid of. He's not afraid of you hearing it, remembering it. And he doesn't even care that you can go around and tell people, yeah, I know what that is. Because we are not talking about the same thing. He's scared to death that you're going to go to a church that's going to teach you about meditation imagery delivery. What the heck is that? Well, that's where you take God's word and you see it. Okay, you see it. You let the Holy Spirit build in you as you say it and as you spend time with him. And he forms a picture. Immokalee is in revival is not a word. It is not a sentence, and it's not what we do to have a offering to get you excited, to tell the city, get all the pastors together, and all that. It is a word of truth from the Lord of the church. He said it. I don't just believe it. I live there. We had a service a while back. Everybody got together and they shared what they saw. And you wouldn't believe the things that everyone saw. If you want to sit down, you can. I looked out in the spirit, and it was like I saw past everything. And it was like I could see out 10 miles, out into the grass, out across farm fields. And I could hear them coming. It was a rumbling on the land. So there was, and I didn't create this vision. I didn't sit around and come up with a vision and say, this is the vision I want. I spent time with him saying what he said, which was Immokalee was in revival. I'm coming to Immokalee, and 1,000 other things that are in the prophecies that you can get off the website. And he, from those words, he formed that picture for me to see. And I looked out, and it was like looking like across the airport. You know, you couldn't see any buildings in my vision. There was nothing here. And here they came. It was like, it was ridiculous. They just dropped everything. Buckets, trucks, watermelons, steaks, machinery, and a what? And a football. Yeah. Well, that's the second one. There was more than one. And here they came to this location. Not because this location was special, but because of the habitation that you built in this location. You built it. You saw it. You fought for it. You pouted. You got back up. You said what he said. You pouted. You got back up. You said what he said. And you didn't quit. If it wasn't so dangerous, he wouldn't fight you so hard for it. I wish the people who left were here. So I could just say to them, you were fought so hard because this scares hell. It makes it shake. Because this is everything the Father wants. He wants you and his family forever. And everyone that you can touch in his family in heaven forever. Which sounds simple. Just go ye, preach the gospel. Just go do it. Well, we've learned that there's a part missing to that go ye, preach. There's a little bit of power that needs to go with it. Because if you notice, when Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom, it wasn't in word only. He ransacked every place he went. I mean, he ransacked it. I mean, every linebacker in the NFL couldn't make a mess like he made. I mean, he messed up everything. Every pretty little structure, order, and religion that man had set up. This is how we do things. You know, like this. And He just ransacked it. Because he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They hadn't heard it until then, so of course it was going to ransack it. And then there was another one. You'd think one would have been enough. With sight and sound with it, and you know, you don't even know what to do with yourself because you're like, I see Immokalee Park over there where the basketball courts are, and they're out there playing basketball. And in my vision, Reuben is standing on the bleachers, just standing there because God told him to go there and stand there at such and such time of day or whatever. Maybe he went there every day. I don't know. I just felt like, you know, he was there because God told him to be there because that's the kind of guy he is. You know, I added that. I said, well, he's there because God told him to be there. And all of a sudden, playing, and they all stop. They just stop, and they turn like they were robots. I mean, they just turn, and they look at Reuben, and they all flock to him, and they all say the same thing. Because there was a presence that came and just boom, and went poof. It was over. He hadn't even said anything. He didn't preach to them first. They didn't even know who he was. Well, they, maybe they did. I don't know. But that's not what, you know, it was like backwards. You know, you're thinking, I'll go tell them. They'll come to church. You know, they'll worship and they'll feel the song. And, you know, these people never been to church. And they felt more than a song. They felt revival. One of my kids was sitting on the couch, and it's about 8-9 years ago, and we would have pep talks every now and then because we were sitting in there doing homeschool, and part of the homeschool was to pray in tongues for an hour while listening to Gary Carpenter. And you know, if you're like 8 years old, that's like, you know. So we would do pep talks about revival. We'd talk about it, you know, things we've seen, and you know, at, you know, just whatever was on our heart, you know. So I think Gay had got up and she said, you know, how can, you know, we talked about revival, and then she said, how can we, you know, accelerate this, and how can we have this, you know? And we're like, well, praying in tongues, you know, we've been doing that. And one of them's like, well, reading the word, you know. And it was Robert, and he was real little then, and he grabs his Bible and he runs over there on the couch and he opens it up. And he's like, I can't read. This is taking too long. And I was like, I know how you feel, kid. This is taking too long. But, it, you know, it's just one of those things you see along the way, you know. Because you're like, okay, I'll do that. But it's like, wait a minute, I can't read very good. It's like, neither can the rest of us. But praise God for that. Sights and sounds of revival. He's coming. He said he was coming. Worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I was going to read this because I like this one. This is some of those fun ones. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, cast himself down on the earth, and put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked again. There is nothing. He said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea. Like a man's hand. Sometimes I feel like that. You know, you're like, you know, you got this prophecy, the Lord said, and it went from being this big, and it, like, the enemy came to steal it, and you're still hanging on to it. And it's like your whole world is being rocked, and it looks like it's small, like the size of a man's hand. but it has everything in it just to fill. It can fill everything full. That's why he gave it to you. That's why Sunday I was sharing about presence, and I was trying to communicate as best I could, and I was trying to read, and I just wasn't working out. I was trying to, you know, to get to the end of the story, and I couldn't get to the end of the story. I was like, I never even got past the second page. And it was only 10 minutes when I read it at the house. I was like, what is wrong with this? I was like, man. But he had slowed me down, and it was like he, you know, and I don't do this very often, and so that's part of it. You know, I don't have a lot of experience listening to him while he's trying to say something in a restrained amount of time. See, normally, I mean, I'm communing with him all day long, praying in tongues, and he's talking to me and I'm talking back, but I'll take the whole day to go over something, and I don't really, you know, I don't condense it into anything. So I'm so used to just it being an ongoing thing that to stop and to try to, you know, pull it down, that ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna work. I can't do it. It'd probably take 10 years to, if I preached every time the doors were open, I might get good at it, but I doubt it. Presence. He's still on presence because with his presence and your participation, which brings that presence, there's something that we've called a corporate anointing. Maybe other people call it something, or maybe that's what it is everywhere. I don't know. The corporate anointing is so important. And it's not like, you know, you might be thinking, well, Pastor, you know, that's what he does, you know, and I'll just watch and we'll just see how that works out. The corporate anointing takes what a person is trying to receive who's come down to the front, and it just makes it that much easier for that person to receive. It's not necessarily, I mean, yes, it's for Pastor because he's ministering, or me because I'm trying to talk and trying to, you know, say what he wants me to say without saying a bunch of the wrong stuff. But it's because with the corporate anointing, you get to participate in him getting done what he wants to do. The corporate anointing, it, depending on where you're at, it starts in many places. It can start here, and it can spill over to prayer time at home. Like if you're an elder or a leader in this church, you probably have time at home where you spend praying and worshiping. And then you bring that here. And for those that are in training and those that aren't, we turn on quiet music in the beginning, and we just ask everybody who's come early to set up just to kind of sit down and worship. That way, you know, the corporate anointing is building before anybody even gets here. And on those services where a lot of people have just taken in that and just gotten in on it, the service just goes off the charts sometimes. It's really incredible. I mean, it really does. So it's a family. It's his family. It's the kingdom of God. It's how he wants it to work. And then, you know, during the service, it's the same thing, you know. If you can stay in the Spirit, if you can quietly pray in the Spirit, that's wonderful. I mean, it just kind of keeps everything going in the right direction. And I think we'll probably be going back into a time to where after the service, we'll dim the lights and we're going to put on something quiet. And if nobody stays, that's fine because everybody has places to go. But if you don't have anywhere to go and you feel something lingering, you know, we won't do any of the normal stuff that we do. I mean, we won't rush you out of here. And because that would just be wrong, you know. If he's here, then we'll just, I mean, we got people that come during the week to clean up the church. I mean, we could just leave it like it is. And usually it's not even messy, so. Corporate anointing in his presence. That's what it's all about.
cloud the size of a man's hand.
I mean, that prophecy that you got, you know, from a conference or from when Dave came, and however many you got, they're like, you know, don't let them, you know, don't let the enemy come and just shrink them down to, you know, something off in the distance. Keep them full. Keep your heart full of faith. It's well worth it. It'll make it so much easier when he comes to steal the word. Instead of pouting 3 days, it might only be 1 day. You never know. Maybe an hour. 3 hours. I've never pouted for days, though. But I've had hours at a time that were pretty rough, and I was just going to quit. I'm not going to do this no more. I'll sell all this stuff and get me a job somewhere. Boo-hoo, you know. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's what I'm going to do. But praise God I didn't. I won. And that's also corporate anointing. Everyone praying for each other. I mean, it's not just so you can get stuff. It's not for getting stuff. It's for winning. So we're going to take a couple-minute break. Alex, if you could stick the offering baskets out, if you brought something, bring it down. Mavis will turn on the lights for a minute, and we'll get a drink of water, go potty, and then we'll come back, and I'll read a couple more verses, and then hopefully we'll wrap this up pretty quick. Thank you, Father. Father, I just worship you and I thank you. I glorify you and praise your holy name. You are not a man that you could lie, but you've exalted your word above your name. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word is eternal. Father, I thank you for this night. I thank you for this service. I thank you for what's already been said. Amen. Presence in the service, presence in your home. It's really just the fruit. A lot of it is the fruit of praying in tongues a lot. Because without the soul being quieted, you wouldn't notice his presence anyway. Not really. That's why praying in the Spirit and worship go hand in hand. You know, unless you pray in tongues a lot, really, unless you're just an old-fashioned, disciplined person, worship is rough. You need loud music and plenty of it. I don't listen to any of the music we have here at home. None of it. Not one. I used to all the time. We used to listen to a lot of like live worship because you can songs, you know, they go together and you don't have to sit there and try to, you know, put together a playlist and then you wind up with a loud one in there and you're worshiping and then, you know, then you got to go back and fix it and, you know, after a while, you know, you wind up pouting. You're like, where are the smart people at that can fix this, right? Don't you say that? Where are the smart people at this church who can do this, you know? It's like, well, the devil run them off first. I'm guessing because I'm not smart. And, I mean, y'all are smart, but I'm not smart. Y'all are real smart because y'all are here. I got that from Pastor. Didn't he say that all the time? He'll start that, and then he'll say, but y'all are real smart. And then he'll say, we got to take up an offering. We already did that. We'll take up another one. We're like a camp meeting. This one is really going to be a good one. This one. This is going to be the one. I didn't know anything about his presence because when you start out, you just have information that people give you. And you hold on to it because you don't want to, you know, you kind of want to, well, I mean, it's all you know. Somebody tells you this and this, and you're kind of hoping that that'll keep you from being deceived. You know, if someone tells you this is truth, this thing over here is truth, and if you hear anything other, it's not, you know, and so you're kind of like, you know, you're holding on to all those little things you remember, and anything that sounds funny, you know, you shy away from, and it didn't help. Because really, the problem is the church has things out of order. And it's just passed down from generation to generation that way. They passed it down to their kids. They repeated it. It became a form of meditation. They trusted in it instead of the truth, which the truth was is you need to spend time with Jesus. You get born again, you have to go immediately and spend time with him. Or you will just learn a bunch of stuff and you will go home and you'll be a mediocre to a bad father or a good father, or you'll be whatever. You'll be whatever you are, is what I'm saying. You're not going to be something different. You're going to be whatever you were before you got saved. And some people are happy with what they were before they got saved. A lot of us aren't. And the very next thing you do, it's the second work of grace. That's why it's called second. A lot of churches don't teach it that way. They don't even understand it. They don't bring it up. Don't even want to hear about it. It's the second work of grace. It's the next thing to do because it's the only thing to do. You start praying in the Spirit a lot. You start getting quiet. Obviously, you're going to read the Word to go with it, because if you didn't, you're going to go crazy just praying in tongues, because, you know, most people immediately grab the Bible and start reading through it when they're praying in tongues a lot because they need something to keep them busy. They're going to quit. Or they'll listen to, like we listened to all the foundational stuff. Every born-again trail, everything Gary Carpenter had. Oh, my gosh. I thought that guy was never going to shut up. But thank God for it, because he's one of those preachers that doesn't preach his own words. He preaches what the Father says and nothing else. So what he has is stuff that you can listen to 50 years from now and it's still good. And I don't know. I'm like, well, how do you get that? And then these other guys, you listen to them and it's like their stuff is, well, there's only one thing that's different. He prays in tongues, they don't. He prays in tongues a lot. Matter of fact, you know, all the preachers at the prayer center, they all, you know, kind of given a little, well, you know, if you want to make it, and you know, this is your thing, you're going to be a pastor, you know, 6 to 8 hours a day, you know, you really need to be locked up off the phone. And I don't know anybody else that does that. They don't do it. And the ones that do other things where they lock up, it's always mixed up with all kinds of weird stuff. So it's not tongues. It's not, you know, it's, you know, none of it makes any sense. Some of the stuff I've heard recently, but the fruit is there. And what I'm talking about is peace and presence. And they can hear and repeat what he says. And that's what you want. I mean, you don't want to go listen to somebody who's going to pull up last year's sermon about David and Goliath. You're like, yes, I like that one. And you go home and the giant beats you up when you get home. And that's just not going to work. So you get quiet. And then you start hearing things. And you really need to write things down, not because it's great revelation, but you need to weigh what's being said. Because you might, your soul loves to imitate God. You'll find yourself telling yourself what God said and running off and, you know. Or condemning yourself because you couldn't do it and didn't do it. You should always write down what you think the Holy Spirit is telling you. And you should always wait. Because it's not him telling you what to do, and then you go do it. I told you to go get a job, go get one. Well, in the kingdom of God, it's run a little different. He tells you what to do, while he's making you ready to do it, teaches you how to wait, and then you co-labor with him. Because what we want is we want the Holy Spirit to come and co-labor with us, right? Because I'm doing stuff, and it's not going well. It's got, you know, I mean, I've had a heck of a past couple of days. I tried not to work, and everything was breaking around me. I'm like, oh, the devil followed me home. It's Goliath. Where's my rock? I can't find my, honey, where's my rock? You know, I need my three smooth stones I got from the brook and the sling, you know. Funny. So you write it down and you just wait. And that really sucks because you're thinking, I finally heard from God, he told me some stuff, and now I can't do it. Right? Because you're learning to co-labor with him. Now that's not easy, and that's not something you jump into first day. You're like, okay, I prayed in tongues yesterday. Well, yeah, go ahead. No, I got saved the day before. I prayed in tongues the next day. And I heard what God said, so now it's time to go do it, right? You know, the process of quieting the soul and preparing yourself, really what you're doing is you're qualifying yourself for what you were meant to do. And you qualify yourself by getting quiet. You qualify yourself through mortification. And he makes you ready. And then when you start seeing him, and he starts showing you. And then you wait a little more. And then your friends, the men that you know and the women you know that pray, you know, and they co-labor with you, and you start moving into it. And I mean, we kind of have a rule at our house, and I'll just share this with you because we're prayer center junkies, and even if we're not praying, yes, we are. I mean, you know, I mean, if he's beaten me out of it for a little while, I'm not going to tell you about it. When I start again, I'm not going to tell you I hadn't been. I mean, that's just, you know, none of your business. And that's never happened, but just in case it does. So what we do, and because we've seen this, we've seen it, if we hear and feel like, you know, God is moving us, like, let's say with piano ministry, with music and stuff. I mean, we just keep doing what we were doing. Piano lessons, play at home. Church, I have a little thing, and we'll play some songs, you know, and standing up here in a prayer line because Pastor Bronk is our pastor, okay? He's not a stranger. He's not some guy. He's our pastor, which means I've given him the right to function as a pastor in my family's life. So he flows in the prophetic. I'm waiting, you know, because I'm trying to listen. He's way better at it than I am. I think, we're not sure, so we're waiting to hear confirmation because he's one of the people that prays with me over things, along with several others. Stuff comes up, it's like, you know, this is happening, but, you know, we're not in a hurry. And I just want to make sure that, you know, I don't jump ahead and, you know, I want to be a good example. Because if I'm following him, there's possibly someday someone may actually dare to follow me. God help you if you do, because it looks like this, you know. it's like running from an alligator or something. The devil's like an alligator. So, one day we're in a prayer line, minding our own business, grace line, something. And pastor walks up, and because, you know, we've been just waiting, we've learned to wait. We've learned to wait and listen and, like, just anticipate. It's kind of like tarrying in a way, but, I mean, maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's how you're supposed to tarry. I don't know. Tarry, how do you tarry? Show us the tarry. And then he starts prophesying. I'm like, that's cool. Write it down. Try to find it, you know. And we were way better before. I was way better at recording those and getting them to everybody. But Technology took a jump. I didn't. I bought equipment that worked, and then the equipment all quit working. And so now we're like, as far as if you hear a word to be able to get it to you. So you, if we take care in it, we figure you might realize that's important. And, you know, at the moment you're excited, you're going to forget. Later on you're going to be in a battle, and then you're going to say, where's that word at? I would like for you to be able to have it somehow. Somehow. And we're still working on that. But pray that the technology bulb go off or something, because I am not technology person, and I am back there with technology. So it's like I am co-laboring with him, because that's all I got to say about that. So prophecy comes forth, you know, about called you to, how did it go? I don't remember, music or something, to open heaven, this, that, and the other. And you're like, wow, really? Thought he was just going to play the piano, you know, called to open heaven. Wow. You know, of course, we kind of knew that already, because we were already waiting. Well, we still didn't do anything about it. I mean, what would we do? I mean, what are you going to do? There's nothing to do, because you continue pray at home, continue to play, worship, find time to spend time with him. That's it. I mean, what else are you going to do? What, go make posters and have a concert? I mean, that's not, you know, that's not what he said. He just says, this is where you're going if you continue what you were doing before I spoke to you. That's the key. If you continue to do what you were doing before I spoke to you, this is where you're going. Not stop praying and start working on what I said. That's most important. Continue to do what you were doing, which was praying in tongues, listening to Gary Carpenter. Oh, man, that guy's driving me nuts. Because I'm jealous. He's so studious and spot on. I hate him. He has saved my life 10 times, maybe 12. Hasn't he? And my wife says, yes, he has saved our life. I mean, so then a year later, we haven't done anything. We're just doing our thing. More stuff comes forth, you know. Then he calls Renee, Robert, because they were over there going, Harry, I hate Harry. Then you, I hate Harry. He got a prophecy about worship, and I can sing way better than him. And I can sing louder than he can, too, without a microphone. Harry has a microphone. You still can't hear him. It's like he's singing that song, Wind, and you're like, what's he saying? He knows it, too. He's got the same problem I got, you know. We're both kind of, we don't come out real boom, you know. Like, hey, would you mind, this place is on fire and we'd like everybody to go. Whereas, like, Alex, boom, you know, it's on fire. Everybody runs, you know, and it's like, I mean, some people just called to announce fire. That's all. I say nothing about your calling. I just, you're called to announce fire. So then these guys come up, and the Lord says, you know, if you guys keep doing what you were doing in prayer, this is where you're going. You know, we're going to hear you on the radio, going to hear you on a CD somewhere, somehow. You know, well, what he's, come on, what he's, oh, you're not, what? You don't know? <I'm> just, you know, so these guys all got brought into the, you know, so then they know that they're up there leading worship along with Marcia, Terry, Candy. And so when the enemy comes to steal their word, they have a word that says, I belong up here. So, okay, they're up here singing, and their microphone's broken. They think I turned it off, so they're mad, right? And so the enemy tries to steal that word through a simple thing like that, which he does it a lot because the microphones are always messed up here. And I know what he's doing, so I'm praying back there for you when I know your microphone's not working that you'll only pout for 1 hour. 1 hour, that's all you get. But he's come to steal your word. And the word is you're called to be up there doing whatever it is you're doing. I'm hoping it's worship, singing, sounds good, because you worship at home, you know. And that's what qualifies you for that. And that's what prepares you for that, is worship at home. Not you know, I mean, you know what you have to do. I mean, Tongues and Gary Carpenter, you guys have been, you've been invited by the Holy Spirit to come to the next level. He's saying, if you want to continue and go where I've called you to go, you're going to have to kick it into high gear and increase your game a little bit. You know, you're going to have to lock yourself up. You know, you're going to have to make some time, right? You have to make, yeah, you got to get that propane going. So that's just an example from us, you know, that I can understand and see, you know, like, you know, I've had several prophecies that were off the wall. I'm like, this dude is nuts. I mean, okay, I respect him. I do what he says. I can feel the anointing coming off of him. I'd follow him all over the place. But did you hear what he just said? And that's just, I mean, it was too far. I mean, it was like, oh. You know, I'm going to have a hard time grabbing onto that. I mean, and I really did. I have struggled with that, but I have wrote them down. My wife has wrote them down. I had a book. I can't find my book. I think I got mad threw my book away. That's why you shouldn't pout for more than an hour. By the third hour, you're throwing stuff away. I'm sure it's somewhere. It has to be because it was important. I mean, we had protocol written in there to meditate on while in prayer, petitional protocol, protocol for worship, protocol for just so you know what to do so you don't forget. You can forget, something can come and get you off a degree. Like, the biggest thing that gets everybody off a degree is this. I am not worthy to stand up there and do this. I am not worthy to do what it was I was doing. And it's not true. And so you get off a degree and you're in error. Okay, it's not the devil's fault and it's not anybody else's fault. You decided to receive that lie and it got you off a degree. And if you don't get rid of that quick, you will stay off a degree until you decide to get rid of that. And you don't want to be off a degree. Because it affects everything. There's a piece of that in every decision you make, every word you hear. Pastor will start preaching, and everything you'll hear will be that degree mixed with every word he says. And then you'll walk out the door, and you won't come back. Forgiveness. The enemy lies to you, you get off a degree. Then there's an issue with forgiveness. There's always an issue with forgiveness. Forgiveness is probably the most important thing that we have to deal with as people. As soon as he gets you off a degree, there's some forgiveness issues in there, and you have to make it a point . Jesus said, He said to the Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is what Jesus was saying. He's saying, Father, I've already forgiven them. Would you forgive them with me? Would you join in with me and forgive them? He wasn't asking God to do something, because that's where we, with faith and our words, we misunderstand kind of a begging thing with this, and please God do this when we're the ones that forgive. We're the ones that speak the words of faith. We're the ones that go forward. We're the ones that park over here in the parking lot of pout and doubt. And it's just, it's all you. What do you want to do? Do you want to go forward? Do you want to go home? Because what at home isn't good. It doesn't get better. He doesn't leave you alone because you like, you know, parked over there. It gets worse. Romans 10, 6 through 8 says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. Say not in your heart. Faith speaks like this. Righteousness. What is your righteousness of? Is it of works? or is it of faith? Because if it's of works, what you say is a mess. Because you will say things that aren't true. And you will just be stuck over here in a place of doubt and unbelief, and you will go nowhere. Righteousness, which is of faith, speaketh on this wise. I like how that says. That's so funny. It's like, what does that mean? Saith not in thine heart. Don't say it. You know, don't say it. Please God, come. Please God, you know, learn how to pray. Learn how to speak with authority before the problem gets here. When the problem gets here, you will know what to say. When the problem gets here, it is not time to build faith and learn how to go to battle, because the battle's already lost. You can get ready for the next battle, but this one, you're going to have to get your friends and get in the prayer line and everything else, because you're not going to get this one. What you say and how you say it is a reflection of what you've believed in your heart. And you have to establish your heart the right way. Your heart has to be established with faith, not with meats, not with works, not with self-righteousness. You know, I'm a good person. I do good things. Your heart will establish itself on self-righteousness, and it is a slippery slope. When it's time to fight, when it's time to do battle, it won't know how, because it never did. It wasn't doing it before. So when it's time to save someone's life, your wife, your husband, your kids, yourself, you won't be able to do it. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this evening. We worship you and glorify you. Holy Spirit, go with them and remind them what their words are. Go with them and remind them that it is not self-righteousness, that it is the words of Christ, that it is what he has said. And help us along this way as we spend time with you, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you for coming.